little bit of bass as well.
You can turn it up a little bit, just a teeny bit. Yeah, that's fine.
Hey, test mic.
Rolling?
Let's do it, man.
So this is Neil Cowley, and this is Hug the Greyhound. This is an old track. It's about a friend of mine who looks like a greyhound dog.
Welcome to the Sessions at Midori House, where today we welcome Neil Cowley of the Neil Cowley Trio. The most important bit, you'd probably guess. Neil Cowley is a piano virtuoso who's performing Shostakovich at the age of 10 in front of an audience at London's Queen Elizabeth Hall. He attended the Royal Academy of Music and then trekked off away from classical into dance and dub and techno music in his younger years, only to come back halfway down the road to his roots to become an astonishingly accomplished jazz pianist and composer. Which leads us to the question, when is jazz not jazz? Cowley's is a wide net that encompasses lots of genres, notably soundtrack. He always seems to be writing a soundtrack to a film that doesn't exist, people say. Well, the Neil Cowley Trio's latest record, Spacebound Apes, is a concept album, a sort of soundtrack, based on a mannish monkey named Lincoln on a transcendental search for his soul amongst the stars. Concept or no, soundtrack or not, it's a beautiful, emotional and powerful piece of work that cares not a jot for genre. And neither should you. Neil's also notably appeared as the go-to best pianist in the world for Adele's Rolling in the Deep. He's done things with Dudley Moore. He's a polymath who perhaps hides his light under a bushel. Or is it a beard? Neil Cowley. Neil, thank you so much for coming in solo.
Pleasure, yes.
With that, it feels like a one-man band thing.
It is, yeah.
The man with the piano under his arm.
I know.
The most unwieldy of one-man bands.
I know, but we didn't really have much choice because we're in quite an enclosed space here. And
yeah, exactly.
They're big lads. There's a lot of beards.
There are a lot of beards. Tell you what, wow, there is a beard off. How does that work in terms of the band dynamic? Do you set the kind of... Are you sort of principal beard?
Oh, no, I'm not principal. I mean, if you look at a photo of the band, I mean... Rex,
your bassist, right?
He's, yeah. Okay. He wins the beard prize. I follow in his footsteps. and he set the trend. I mean, that's taken a good 18 months to get to that.
Okay, the selfish rhythm section.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Okay. I mean, so I'm a poor substitute, but I guess I'm middle beard. And then Evan, the drummer, is short beard. Do you remember the... What was it? The David Frost sketch where you had Basil.
The classes, right?
Yes, John Cleese, Ronnie Barker, and Ronnie Corbett. And yeah. I know my place. Well, Evan is I know my place.
So you're the Ronnie Barker.
I'm Ronnie Barker. Yeah, which suits.
Well,
yeah,
that's right. You're the writer. You're the great writer of the
piece. In fact, the great Four Candles sketch was inspired by a hardware store in Hayes where I was brought up. So
okay.
I feel like a great affinity to Ronnie Barker.
I wondered whether we were going to be able to go full circle with that, but we have done.
Yeah, I just did my own link.
Presumably, yeah. Thank you very much. And also, people at home will be Googling not only this sketch, but Hayes and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
We shall put a bit of strange specificity into people's search histories today to this. Let's talk about Spacebound Apes, Neil, because so much of your work has alluded to being cinematic and the soundtrack to movies that don't necessarily exist. Maybe they do in your head. Maybe we should ask you that, actually, whether all these things, they start off as a story in your head and they end up as music, or whether it's the other way around.
As you say, a lot of people have said that my stuff is very cinematic. I mean, it's a phrase that gets bandied around quite a lot for all sorts of people.
I'm sorry to reuse it.
No, not at all. Not at all. No, I mean, in
soundtrackish.
Terms of, yeah, soundtrackish. Yeah. But a lot of people get to that kind of accolade. But it is true in my case, and I suppose that's born out of an obsession, a childhood obsession with John Barry. I loved everything that John Barry did, and John Barry famously wrote all the Bond stuff. But really, the work that really got to me was The Lion in Winter with Peter O'Toole and Catherine Hepburn. That's still the greatest soundtrack album of all time. So I've always wanted to try and be John Barry. And I, as you said there, I wrote previously written music without a film. So this time I wrote an album, decided to write my own film.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. Spacebound Apes is actually a concept album. It's about this character called Lincoln. And so I ended up writing an 11-chapter book about this character, Lincoln, who finds an old love letter from a girlfriend. And then, through a strange set of circumstances, ends up as part of a laboratory experiment. He undergoes this experiment, which is the drug that they invent called autoscopine. Autoscopy is that feeling you get when you leave your body, you're dying, and you leave your body and you look
down
from the corner.
You're up in the corner of the room and you're looking down on yourself.
Exactly that. So this drug takes him out of his body, and they're trying to rid him of love. Because they think that the human beings.
So we're in some sort of sad Brave New World. Haven't we
are exactly that, yeah, an Aldous Huxley kind of thing.
And also, we should say that we're also in the world of Salvador Sandoval, right?
Sergio Sandoval,
the amazing illustrator.
That's
you commissioned for this book. As well.
I'm flicking through the book in front of me here, and yes, he was the upshot of all that. In a sense, the story came first.
Yeah.
And Lincoln leaves for this imaginary virtual solar system where each planet is governed by one or other emotion. So you get a planet of love, planet of governance. So this ridiculous story came about. And then my publishers, they have a wonderful sheet music department. They said, well, let's get an amazing illustrator to put these into picture.
Yeah.
So they contacted Sergio Sandoval. And he was behind the art concept for Pan's Labyrinth, the Oscar-winning film about the Spanish Civil War, and he's also a DC comic artist.
He is no slouch. He is Neil Cowley of the pen.
And that's right, he is, and he is absolutely no slouch, and he's solo. And every time he came up with a picture, I went, yeah, that's exactly what I thought, you know, rather arrogantly. So this book was created, and not only that, but those illustrations were turned into animations, and they featured at our recent gig at the Union Chapel, and...
Online. And that was an amazing performance. The normal percussive, wonderful kind of rhythm of your and your trio's pieces, but then having that extra element was quite a magical thing. That's something that needs to be rolled out. You know, I want to see more of this stuff for this record specifically.
Yeah, this record, it's difficult to present it in a way. I did a sort of a compressed version of it the other night in a sort of a private gig, and someone said, well, you played the first tune off Spacebound Apes, and then you got up and it's like Tommy Cooper went up to the mic. And I've got to be... And I have this tendency, it's tendency to want to kind of disassemble everything that I've created, which is a bad habit. So with Spacebound Apes, we played the first half in its entirety, and I tried to shut up as much as possible just to sort of create to maintain the atmosphere rather than annihilate it by opening my mouth.
This tune is Grace.
So I'm going to do a track now off Spacebound Apes, the album. This is a track called The Death of Amygdala. And this is where Lincoln, the main character, observes this planet called Amygdala, which represents fear in the universe. And he sees it explode in front of him. And then he feels liberation in his brain. And he no longer feels fear. Something we all dream of.
The Neil Cowley Trio is an amazing thing. It looks like three classically trained musicians,
mm-hmm.
apart from there's a lot of good beard wear going on.
Yes.
but the sound belies that. I mean, you know, you can make a very different sound as a jazz trio, in inverted commas, than you do. Did the sound come from the players that you played with, or did the music come first and you tried to find the people to fit the music that you wanted to play?
I suppose a little bit of a combination of the two. I started the band because I'd, as you say, been classically trained, and then I went off into the world of, well, started acid jazz and then dance music, very much dance music, and, you know, like up-tempo, down-tempo, everything. And then got to a certain age and I thought, well, actually, I'm not giving my skill credit, really, because actually, what do I do best? Well, actually, I play piano best and I communicate with people, finger on ivory, as it were, and everything else is just it's like an interruption. So I tried to strip it right down. But so when I came back to the piano, I really was regurgitating the last 15 years of quite hedonistic musical experience, and I was psychedelic trance, or you know, the builds that I would feel on the dance floor at, you know, at an illegal rave, for instance. I wanted all that to come into this outfit. Then I met two other guys who had had their own experiences, and we all brought them together. They are Rex is particularly classically trained, so he has that grounding as well. He finds the way I write music dumbfounding, because there's no logic to it whatsoever. He's a very logical man. He's incredibly intelligent, and he just can't understand why I...
You do it by feel, you mean?
I do it by feel, and I ignore theory. Theory so terribly. And he loves it, absolutely loves it. But so, I mean, I compose the tunes, and I present it to them, and then they, you know, put their personality into it. So I suppose that really defines what the band is, really. It's my music, but played through these wonderful musicians, and they are so much part of it, and they are so much part of the get up and go of it.
Just talking to you, I wonder if there's anything in the way that you were taught at the Royal Academy of Music that means that you can run off to the horizon with your virtuosity and that learning, but not have to kind of get embroiled in it every day. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, my virtuosity initially was... I felt was holding me back in a way.
Yeah.
And I suppose, you know, we've kind of touched on it already. I always try and downplay it, because it just doesn't work in this country. You know, saying I'm good, you know, doesn't really work in this country. And I can sort of, the only way I can say I'm good at something is by disassociating myself from it. I can point at myself on the other side of the room and go, actually, that version of me is actually very good at that thing there, but that doesn't make me a great person. And that doesn't make me good as a whole. That doesn't make me good as an artist. But I know there are a few key things which I know I'm very good at. And then I try and paper over the cracks with a lot of other stuff to turn me into hopefully a good artist. But there's no self-confidence there whatsoever. Bizarrely, there's no self-confidence.
This is Sitting in the Stars reimagined.
You've been listening to The Sessions at Midori House, and this week's guest was Neil Cowley. Neil and his trio have just released their record, Spacebound Apes, on Hide Inside Records. This show is produced by Holly Fisher, mixed by Alex Funnell, and I've been Robert Bowes. Join us again at the same time next week, when we'll be recapping some of our favourite festive performances from the past few years. But for the time being, thanks for tuning in.